Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I can hardly believe I'm reading this. I believe what it says. I have known what it says to be true for a long time. But I can't believe I'm reading it. Onset of sexual activity in tweens delayed by theory-based abstinence-only program. That's the headline, the story out of Philadelphia. A new study weighs in on the controversy over sex education, finding that an abstinence-only intervention for preteens was more successful in delaying the onset of sexual activity than a health promotion control intervention. Finally, the little recognition for abstinence only. Is this all silver lining and no cloud? We're going to be talking about abstinence only and this new study out of Pennsylvania with Dr. Janice Shaw Krause. Before we bring Dr. Krause on, let's get the story from ABC News.
An intriguing new study to tell you about tonight about what might help with preventing sex, at least among young teens. A new approach to teaching abstinence. Here's David Muir.
It could change the national conversation about young people and sex. Researchers say for the first time they have clear evidence a focus on abstinence works.
I think this is a game-changing piece of research.
Researchers followed 6th and 7th graders in separate groups. In one, abstinence was the sole focus. In the other group, they were taught contraception and safe sex. Over the next 2 years, results scholars call groundbreaking. Half the students learning about safe sex were now having sex, while far fewer, a third in the group focused on abstinence, were engaging in sex. But there was something else at play here, say the researchers. Just as important was the way they approached abstinence, purposely staying clear of religion, morality, and marriage.
Instead, we began by talking to children and trying to understand, you know, their motivations, their reasons for engaging in the behaviors from their perspective.
Simply said, delay, wait a bit. Sex is serious, it has risks, and we just recommend that you wait until you're older.
Well, we use protection, but somehow I got pregnant.
For nearly a year, ABC News followed 15-year-old Mahogany Bryant through her pregnancy.
This is my son.
We went back to visit her today at her Louisville, Kentucky school, where she told us she never had that conversation.
There was never a conversation about abstinence with my mom. We never talked about sex. It just wasn't a thing to talk about.
And advocates say with these new results away from the home, there can be even greater impact from within it.
Is that even more powerful coming from a parent?
Absolutely. It might seem like they're tuning us out and turning their iPods up, but they do want to hear from us.
They're listening.
Yeah, they're absolutely listening.
They are. In fact, the study shows that two-thirds of the kids who had that conversation in that group setting to just hold off until they're older actually did wait. And advocates told me late today that the number of kids who wait jumps significantly from even that when you add in that same conversation with a parent.
With a parent. Okay, thanks to you, David.
Joining us to talk about this new study on abstinence and its effectiveness with preteens, Dr. Janice Shaw Krause, Director and Senior Fellow for Concerned Women for America based in Washington, D.C. Dr. Krause, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, Todd.
Are you surprised that abstinence works?
No, not in the slightest. We have a number of studies that have shown this to be the case. I think many of the abstinence studies have been incorrectly portrayed by some people who haven't really understood. They focus on self-esteem. They work with girls who are looking for love. They talk with the parents to emphasize the fact that kids do listen to their parents, and they want their parents involved in these very important issues in their lives. So, yeah, I agree. It's very game-changing research. It's groundbreaking. But it's not really new. I think it's the first time we've had a really effective PR campaign. It's the first time a respected university like the University of Pennsylvania, which gets more NIH grants than any other university in America get, for them to do this study and to have them validate the abstinence studies is really very encouraging, and I think it's going to be very meaningful in the lives of our children today.
How do you expect groups that have pretty much made hay in the last 25 years poo-pooing abstinence, saying it doesn't work, saying it's unrealistic, saying it's religion in disguise, how do you expect them to react to this research?
I suspect they will be dismissing the research as irrelevant and just one study that's not really important. But I think the important thing is to say, bottom line is, who in the world would advocate that 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old girls be engaging in sexual activity? You know, it is counterproductive any way you want to look at it. And I think any responsible adult ought to be saying, the message we need to be sending is the message that these programs send. Delay. Be serious about this. There are risks. There are consequences, and this is not going to take you where you want to go. And I think when you work at understanding children and understanding that most of the girls who are engaging in sex are looking for love, they're looking for parental authorities, they're looking for somebody to give them guidance in their lives. So these programs, yes, they work. They meet the deepest needs of children who are in sixth, seventh grades.
I'm curious about the standard to which abstinence has been held popularly, and that is, although it's largely unstated, I did find it actually in the press release of the Penn State research, where it says, the second paragraph begins, while abstinence-only intervention did not eliminate sexual activity altogether, that seems to carry with it a presupposition that the standard for abstinence is, well, if it doesn't keep every kid from eventually engaging in premarital sex, then it's a failure. What are your thoughts?
I think that has been a measure of some people, and I think that's unfortunate because you do have to look at facts. You have to be have common sense. You have to be very realistic when you look at these things. You know, even this program was successful only part of the way. You know, 33% of the kids did go ahead and have sex. But I think most children, you know, here we have 70-something percent of them. Most of them will live up to the expectations of adults. They do want to please most of them. Most young people will, they do have control of their hormones, and they want to hear that they do. They want to hear that they have control of their lives. And when adults reinforce that, they do try to live up to it. So I think that's one of the major messages to come out of this new research. And I think another major message is that parents do have major influence. Time after time, studies have shown that kids do listen to their parents, and they do want guidance from their parents, even when they're surly, even when they are dismissive, even when they're temperamental about it. They do want the parents to talk to them and to give them guidance, because they're facing an awful lot of things, particularly in today's culture.
Is that part of the impetus against abstinence, that along with abstinence comes involvement by parents? It seems somewhat sinister to me. I don't want to be conspiratorial, but it seems sinister to me that those who downplay abstinence in favor of safe sex education and things like that, also along with it, really don't want the parents too much involved in that sex education.
I think there has been a movement in the education community and in the social sciences that parents really are not prepared to educate kids, particularly when it comes to sex. And I think there's been a lot of entertainment that has portrayed parents as really, you know, not too with it, not very cool, not really comfortable with talking about sex. And I think all of these popular images really hurt parents, because some of them buy into those images, and there are parents who are very uncomfortable discussing controversial subjects or taking a stand for their kids or telling their kids no, even. And I think in particular today's culture where parents are so overworked and have such little time, they don't want to deal with things that are going to cause tension in the home, and so they tend to avoid it. And I think all of those things are things that parents have to work against. Parents have to make time to really talk about serious issues with their children. That's what parenting is all about. If you're not passing along your values, why are you their parent, you know? It's your job to shape their view of the world, to help them understand what they're dealing with at each stage of their lives, and to prepare them to be very productive citizens when they become adults.
Many might say the parents have dropped the ball on the issue of talking to their kids about sex. So the educational system is left with no choice but to pick up where the parents have left off. Step in, fill this void. Your response?
My response is that our children are at risk. I have a book that just came out with that very title, published by the social science publisher of record, Transaction Publishers, and I do make the case in there that our nation is failing our children, and that includes our parents, and in so many circumstances we are. So I take that very seriously. Our children are at risk. Our children have been let down by their parents. A large part of it is that our social science research community for 30 years has said that it doesn't matter what kind of structure you have as a family, that the married couple family is not really the most effective kind of structure for a family. And yet the most recent research and put out by the Urban Institute, which is certainly not a right-wing organization by any stretch of the imagination, has produced some very excellent research saying you put up any structure of family that you want to put up, and the kids in the married couple family, the mom and the dad family, are the best at raising children who are well-adjusted, who are going to be productive citizens in the future. Every other circumstance has very strong, documented negative impacts on our children, ranging from drug involvement to juvenile delinquency to all sorts of problems in school, academic and otherwise emotional problems.
Folks, you'll find a link to Concerned Women for America at issuesetc.org. Dr. Janice Shaw Krause is Director and Senior Fellow for Concerned Women for America based in Washington, D.C. Thank you very much for being our guest.
It's my pleasure.
Well, Pastor Matt Harrison has recently returned from Haiti, and he's going to join us on the other side of this break. We'll talk to him en route from, in Miami someplace, where he returns from that earthquake-torn country. We'll find out how relief efforts are going, what he saw there, get a few of his stories as we round off this first hour of Issues, Etc. This is Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of February. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues, Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues, Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.